Welcome to another episode of Beyond Sermons, where we seek Jesus Christ beyond the pulpit. In this episode, we're going to continue our discussion on eternal security with Richard Miller. Here's another scripture, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. And it says, "And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption."
So, listen, we are all struggling, trying to do our best. We're trying to grow. We're trying to deal with the anger, the bitterness, the fear that we feel. We're trying to deal with, you know, thoughts of greed or lust. There are a myriad of sinful temptations and long-standing issues that people, including Christians, have in their lives that God is constantly trying to work out. Yeah. And we need to be encouraged and understand that as we struggle, God has given us these guarantees.
Yeah.
God has given us this unwavering, you know, seal of approval that we don't have to try and measure up to some standard we have no shot of reaching without him.
So I guess a question is, how could someone lose their salvation after reading this particular scripture?
Well, so here's the thing. This is a warning. Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way that you live.
So
that's
you can.
Saying, So you obviously must be able to bring God's Holy Spirit sorrow by the way that you live. And the Bible says over and over, do not let these sins take hold in your life. See, we think that it's an all or nothing thing, that God is just this, you know, all or nothing guy where you do one thing wrong and I'm done with you. It's over. God's way more reasonable than you or I are. Could you imagine if my son, I have two amazing little boys. They're awesome. Yeah. Could you imagine if they talk back to me one time and I'm like, "Up, go get your shoes on. I'm dropping you off downtown. We're done. We're through. It's over. This isn't working out for us."
Yeah.
Right. I mean, and yet God's a way better dad than I could ever be. You know what I mean?
He's had more practice.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah. I hope I didn't blaspheme God or with that terrible joke. I apologize, Lord. All right. So that's an interesting segue. Let's move on to the next scripture. It says here in John chapter 6, verse 39, and it says, "And this is the will of God, that I should not lose even one of all those he has given me, but I should raise them up at the last day."
God has a will. God has a way that he wants things to work out, but he does not impose that will upon us. He lets us have a will of our own. It says he made us in his image. That means he made us with an ability to choose.
Yeah.
If it's God's will that none should perish, are there going to be people that perish?
Yeah.
There will be.
Yeah.
So
sadly.
I don't think it means once saved, always saved. Yeah. And again, I think it just grace, the idea that grace excuses sin, it doesn't jive, man.
Got you. All right. So now for the next scripture here. Give me one second here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. It says, "But God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone," with this inscription where it quote says, "The Lord knows those who are his, and all who belong to the Lord must turn away from evil." All right. Just kind of talk to me about that a little bit more.
Well, I don't know. I'd have to read a little bit of the context of where this is in Timothy, but just taking this scripture on the surface, I mean, the Lord knows all who are his. All who belong to the Lord must turn away from evil. Does that mean if you don't turn away from evil, you don't belong to him, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and that's the other thing. Like, we have to realize that The Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags, right? Mm. We can't earn or ever deserve our salvation. We need God's help. We need Jesus's righteousness to be imparted to us to be counted that way. But the thing is, he doesn't ever remove our ability to turn away from him.
Right. Yeah.
Like,
yeah, no, I totally agree with you on that one. At least I don't see scriptures where by accepting salvation, we relinquish our free will and recognition of, you know, sin. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, so that brings us to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5, where it says, God himself has prepared us for this, and as a guarantee, he has given us his Holy Spirit. Once again, mm-hmm. we see the word guarantee, you know, yeah. and that seems to be a buzzword for the once saved, always saved camp. How would you interpret this particular scripture for them? And, you know, feel free to throw on context. If you need to bring up a scripture or whatever, we can edit out the awkward silence if necessary.
Well, look, I just don't. God himself has prepared us for this. And as a guarantee, he has given us his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is given. He's the comforter. He's the revelator. He's the Spirit of truth. That doesn't mean that we now lose the ability to sin.
Yeah.
Right. So, but how comforting is it as a follower of Jesus to know that the Holy Spirit is there? How incredible of a thing is that? It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's so awesome. And these scriptures, like, they're not there to say, hey, go ahead and sin and you're still good. They're not there for that. They're saying, look, God knows that you need his help to deal with all of this stuff you are going through in your life. And the Holy Spirit is the guarantee that through all of it, through all of the work and all of the processing and all of the winnowing that God does, you will get through it and you will be the person he has called you to be.
Amen to that. So then the next one is 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. This one says, those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning because God's life is in them. So they can't keep on sinning because they are children of God. So someone who supports once saved, always saved, or eternal security will basically say, hey, if you're truly saved, you're going to stop sinning. But if you start sinning again, maybe you weren't really saved. Is that a legitimate, or even a fair, translation, of this particular scripture?
I don't think so. So,
how would you interpret this scripture then?
Well, I'm glad that you brought it up because I'm glad the scripture's here because it actually is something I wanted to touch upon earlier.
Yeah, please take your time.
The Bible talks about, I think it's in the first chapter of John, it talks about people that are practicing sin or practicing darkness. They don't want the light because they practice darkness. They reject the light because they practice darkness. So I think there's a major difference between someone that is practicing sin and someone that is struggling with sin. I think most of us are struggling with sin. We don't want to sin. The Paul's whole thing where he says, that which I want to do, I do not, but that which I do not want to do, this do I. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Paul, the guy that wrote half of the New Testament, wrote that. That's incredibly encouraging to somebody who is just trying to do their best, just trying to figure out what all this stuff even means, and is finding it difficult to change those deeply learned, deeply seated behaviors that have been a problem for them in their lives.
Yeah. Like,
yes, we're new creatures through God, but most of us still got work to do in order to fully step into the calling and life that he has for us.
Yeah.
Some people have an amazing testimony where as soon as they get saved or once they're filled with the Holy Spirit, everything changes for them.
Yeah.
Like it just the fears were gone. The temptation was gone. They never drank again. They never smoke again. There are far more people who can't say that,
right,
whose testimony is not as radical. And I'm definitely in the processing crowd because my life with God has been filled with me making mistakes and God pruning and God being patient and God holding the mirror up from time to time for me to realize things. And with this scripture, I think it talks about people. It says you cannot practice sin.
Yeah.
Practicing sin is constant. You know, if somebody's practicing to be a professional athlete, they are constantly working at it.
Yeah.
Like nobody's struggling to be a professional athlete. You know what I mean? It's like, mm-hmm. I don't know if I want to or I don't. Oh, man, I messed up and threw another touchdown today. Like that's not a thing. Right. But the idea that there's this, like you were talking about it earlier, there's this progression. We can, I think, progress from struggling with sin till we give into it enough to where now it's part of what we do and we're practicing that sin.
Yeah, and I guess the other word would be embracing and perhaps affirming it as well, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a very dangerous slope for sure. I guess one quick follow-up question would be, if you could just comment on this, perhaps again, what would you say is the difference between a saved and an unsaved person? Would you say the change is sin or the salvation?
Okay,
if you can use either of those as a reference.
All right, so a saved person has repented of their sin and turned to Jesus.
Right.
That doesn't mean they're never going to mess up again.
Yeah.
But you're coming into agreement with God. Hey, this is wrong. I shouldn't have done that.
Right.
You know, and I'm repenting. I'm turning away from it and turning to you, Jesus, turning to you, God.
Yeah.
So salvation lies in that connection, in that relationship. Can I then decide, you know what? I don't think this Jesus thing's working out for me so much. I'm going to now turn back to that which I left being the sin. Now, with that comes temptation, comes failure. That like that doesn't mean that you're not saved anymore. Like, look at David. He repented all the time. Look at a guy like Peter. Gosh, I mean, Peter goes from chopping a guy's ear off to being afraid of a little girl telling people he was with Jesus.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, you think you're bad because you hid your Bible that one time you took your friend home from school or something and it was in your car and you shoved the Bible under the seat and you're beating yourself up for that. And yeah, that is something you shouldn't do. You should be okay with sharing your faith with people, but don't beat yourself up. You're not any worse than any of the people that God used in the Bible repeatedly to show the world his glory.
Amen to that. This concludes another episode of Beyond Sermons, where we seek Jesus Christ beyond the pulpit. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to support, please visit beyondsermons.com to rate and subscribe on the podcast platform of your choice. God bless, and be blessed to be a blessing.